Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today. Another opportunity we have to discuss the issues and allow you, our listener, to participate in the dialogue and the discussion. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That's the magical telephone number that gets your call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have that discussion with you. We'd invite you to ask your questions, make enter your comments, and allow us to have the dialogue and discussion with you on the issues each day. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not based on the authority of what the politicians say or the fake, phony, false news media would have us to believe, not based on ideological bent, not based on denominational dogma, whether it's rites, rituals, rules, and regulations, but based on the authority of Scripture. What does God's Word say? I don't have any greater source book to go to find directions and answers for life and living and the things that we're faced with in society today than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I commend the Bible to you. I commend it to you as a source book of truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Jesus made that statement in John 8:31 and 32. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus made a declaratory statement about truth in John 17:17, when he said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Word of God that is truth from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. It's a truth book. But we find today, ladies and gentlemen, many are rejecting the truth. They do not want to hear the truth of what is said and what is taking place in the world as found and described in the Scripture. And through the Scripture, we have answers that God has given us. In fact, Zechariah 8:6 says, "Speak every man truth to his neighbor." And that's my recipe that I always recommend. But many times truth is rejected. In fact, it was George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it." So, ladies and gentlemen, let me invite you as you join the dialogue and discussion today to be willing to ask your questions, join in the discussion. We're going to be talking about today Islamic belief and the Quran. Islamic belief and the Quran. With al-Baghdadi, the giant guru directing Islamic terrorism on the global level, just having been taken out, I think it's timely for us to talk about who he was, what he was doing, what his background was like, what it means to be a radical Islamic. Is there such a thing as radicalized Islam versus peaceful Islam? Does peaceful Islam exist? What does the Bible say in relationship to what we should do and what we should expect in these last days? Matthew 24 talks about that. We're going to talk about that in this broadcast today. If you're interested in and concerned about where our nation is going, where the globe is going, where the world is going in the Islamic direction, if you're concerned about that, we'd like to talk with you today. If you have found indications of that in your students, sons or daughters studying at school, and you're wondering about what is happening in the schools with the teaching of Islam, call us. I'd like to talk with you about that. if you're concerned today about what President Trump has done and orchestrated and led in the relationship to taking out one of the world's greatest terrorist organizers and perpetrators, if you're concerned about what is being said by the socialist Marxist Democrats against President Trump and this last occasion of his indication of leadership for America, call us. I'd like to talk with you about that. But ladies and gentlemen, let me share with you this. This portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of lawn and garden care equipment. Tools for Time also carries the hurricane preparedness equipment, hurricane cleanup equipment. They have a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about backup power. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, Tools for Time. Located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, where the gigantic flag flows, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7. Look up, find the flag, and the base of that flag, you'll find the home base of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. That's ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we must all, I believe, you can disagree if you'd like, we must all say thank you to God first, and thank you to President Trump for removing the global Islamic jihadist leader, al-Baghdadi. Al-Baghdadi was a coward. In fact, he was a bully. He was a terrorist. And when cornered by the nation's finest military men, al-Baghdadi screamed and cried like a baby, according to President Trump. And I don't know about you, but he's been laughed at and mocked at and made fun of for saying that. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that he's exactly right, because al-Baghdadi was a bully and he was a terrorist, the leader of and perpetrator of terrorism on a global basis. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, it is good news, and it should be good news. Many would say, well, you said it's good news, somebody to be killed. Absolutely, in this case, I believe it is absolutely needful and necessary, ladies and gentlemen, for us to recognize the terrorist that he was and his murderous plots and plans that was carried out on a global basis. We'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast today. Here's an article that says, al-Baghdadi, ISIS leader known for his brutality, is dead at 48. Most of the world learned about al-Baghdadi in July 2014 when he mounted the pulpit in a mosque in Iraq to declare himself the head of the growing terrorist organization. Al-Baghdadi, the cunning and enigmatic black-clad leader of the Islamic State, who transformed a fledgling insurgency into a global terrorist network that drew tens of thousands of recruits from over 100 countries, has died at 48. This article says his death was announced Sunday by President Trump, who said al-Baghdadi detonated a suicide vest during a raid this weekend in northwestern Syria by United States Special Forces. Further, the article says, the son of a pious Sunni family from the Iraqi district of Samarra parlayed religious furor, hatred of non-believers. Now, I'm going to pause there for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. A religious furor and hatred for non-believers. Now, later in this broadcast, we're going to look at the Quran, ladies and gentlemen, and see what the Quran says. And what I want us to understand as I pause at this juncture in the reading of this article is that this man, al-Baghdadi, this man, the jihadist terrorist leader for the globe, this man hated, and that's what the Quran teaches, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, hated non-believers. Now, what does that mean? I'm pausing in the juncture of reading a blurb from this article about his death. He hated non-believers. Ladies and gentlemen, as you'll see later in this broadcast, as we will go directly to the source book of all Islamics around the globe, that is the Noble Quran. In the Noble Quran, it points out very clearly and very definitively that Islamics hate every non-believer. It's not just fictional. It's not just something that someone thinks or says. It's not just something that is a perhaps or a maybe. It's an absolute fact that they hate all non-believers. In fact, in the Quran in Surah 385, whoever seeks a religion other than Islam will never be accepted. Surah 4, by the way, they call surahs in the Quran. We call them verses or chapters. Surah 4, 101. The disbelievers, that's non-Muslims, are ever unto you an open enemy. Surah 4, 102. Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for all disbelievers, that's all non-Muslims. Surah 2, 191. Kill them, all non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them, such as the recompense of disbelievers, that is non-Muslims. Surah 2, 193. Fight until there's no disbelief in Allah. The Surah 2, 216. Jihad, that is holy fighting for Allah's cause, is ordained for all Muslims. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we'll look at more of the Quran during the course of this broadcast. Let me remind you, I've had the privilege of doing the research and the writing, investing thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours in the research and the writing based on what their book says, the Quran. And one of the books that I had the privilege of publishing a number of years ago, about 25 chapters and 350 plus pages, is Islam tolerant? The answer to that question is directly, emphatically, no. They're the most intolerant, unholy, ungodly, murderous organizational structure called religion on the face of the planet. But continuing in this article, the son of a pious Sunni family from Iraq parlayed religious furor and hatred for disbelievers and the power of the internet into a path that catapulted him, that is, into the global stage, commanded an organization that at its peak controlled a territory size of Britain, from which he directed and inspired acts of terrorism in more than three dozen countries. El-Baghdadi was the world's most wanted terrorist chieftain, the target of a $25 million bounty from the American government. His death followed years-long international manhunt that consumed the intelligence services of multiple countries and spanned two American presidential administrations, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's about a 10 or 12-page article. I just read you a little blurb from it. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the Islamic belief in the Quran. This man, El-Baghdadi, believed in the Quran. In fact, I can go back and document for you in 2006 after the FBI had invested several years following 9/11 with the focused research on what caused 9/11, what promulgated it. And according to the FBI report that is recorded, by the way, in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? The FBI report said that it was because those that committed the terrorist acts that brought down the towers at 9/11 read, believed, and followed the Quran. You hear me? The terrorist attacks of 9/11, according to the FBI research and report, and it's not been high profile since it was put in the report. They're intimidated by it, by the Islamics now that's standing in positions of leadership in America and the halls of Congress. But it's because the terrorists of 9/11 read, believed, and followed the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, yet we have a liberal rag newspaper owned by the owner of Amazon and Whole Foods, also owns the Washington Post, Bezos. Washington Post says this, Washington Post glowingly called the dead ISIS chief austere religious scholar. And that statement, as this article says, gets ripped to shreds. This article says it's not an auspicious thing when a publication becomes part of the larger story. Even more so when the story is death of a leader of the Islamic State group. The Post original headline was par for the course. El-Baghdadi, Islamic State terrorist in chief, dies at 48. There was absolutely nothing wrong with that if that had remained unchanged for the posterity. There wasn't a single thing to pick at. But at some point during the course of the events, someone in the Washington Post newsroom decided that wasn't quite good enough. And so their headline then was, "El-Baghdadi, an austere religious scholar at the helm of Islamic State, dies at 48. Here's a person that had remarked to that Washington Post statement. It says, "This statement makes me sick. He was a brutal mass murderer, murdering wanted terrorists. The anti-American leftist and socialist mainstream media is just as much a threat to our country today as al-Baghdadi. America needs to wake up." And I don't know what he was meaning, America needs to wake up, but I can tell you what I mean by America needs to wake up. We're watching the edges of, we're watching the progression of, the standing up of Islam on an international global basis. It's bad enough to watch it internationally, but ladies and gentlemen, we're watching it come about in the United States of America. We're going to talk about that further in our broadcast today. But ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to be of anything that is frightening or of something that we ought not to understand as Christians, because the Christian understands, as we study the scripture, what the Bible says about in the last days there will be perilous times. The word perilous means dangerous, dark, devastating, difficult. And yet at the same time, we understand what God's word says with Jesus speaking. And he said, "Many shall come to you in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." The further reading, as you have opportunity, Matthew chapter 24, gives good insight as to where we're headed and what's taking place in these last days. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not something that, as Christians, we should be frightened about or overly concerned about, but we should be knowledgeable of it. We should recognize the handwriting on the wall, as it is said. We need to understand what is taking place. So just who was this global terrorist, Islamic jihadist, according to the liberal Washington Post, al-Baghdadi, was an austere religious scholar. Wow, I would say. Religious scholar? Yes, if that's what you mean. If it means religious scholar, by the way, he had a PhD. If it means religious scholar based on his knowledge of the Quran, they're probably correct. It means religious scholar based on his study of Muhammad and Allah, then they're probably correct. If it means an Islamic scholar, meaning that he knew and read and memorized and adhered to and followed the Quran, they're probably correct. This man was an Islamic jihadist. He was a terrorist. He was personally responsible for literally thousands of terrorist murders around the world. Remember the Pulse nightclub in Orlando when some 50 people were killed as a result of al-Baghdadi's leadership role, the Pulse nightclub in Orlando when it was bombed, when the shooting took place. May I remind us that the perpetrator of that wicked deed said that he was just following the leadership role of al-Baghdadi, the ISIS headquarters leader, the Islamic jihadist leader. Ladies and gentlemen, al-Baghdadi is now dead, this article says. But here's what we know about the deceased Islamic State leader. Let me just read you a blurb or two from this four-page article. Al-Baghdadi is dead. Here's what we know about the deceased Islamic State leader. President Donald Trump says Islamic State group leader killed in U.S. raid in Syria. ISIS leader al-Baghdadi was killed by the U.S. Special Forces in a daring nighttime raid in northwest Syria, President Donald Trump announced Sunday morning, October the 27th, 2019. On Sunday morning, President Donald Trump announced the death of a man he described as the world's number one terrorist leader, al-Baghdadi, the head of the Islamic State. Here's what we know about him. This article says early life and radicalization. And we'll talk about that word radicalization. El-Baghdadi was born in 1971 in Iraq. His family were Sunni Muslim members of the tribe that claimed to be the descendants directly from the Prophet Muhammad. El-Baghdadi is thought to have shown signs of radicalization years ago, joining extreme branch of the Sunni dissidents, group known as the Muslim Brotherhood as a youth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Muslim Brotherhood was started in 1928. Some of our wonderful, auspicious leaders in the U.S. House today, Ilhan Omar and Rashid Tlaib, both come out of families that are involved in today and formerly involved in the Muslim Brotherhood. The organization known as CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, is birthed out of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Council of Islamic Relations, CAIR, ladies and gentlemen, Council of American Islamic Relations, is an arm of the Islamic Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood. CARE is a part of that radical background that was started in 1928, and it simply implies that he followed El-Baghdadi. When it says that he was started off as a youth in the Muslim Brotherhood, simply means that he was not radicalized. He was simply brought up in the normalization and the understanding of what the Quran says of kill all non-believers, slay them, Jew and Gentile, slay them if they're not Islamic, destroy them wherever you find them, according to the Quran. El-Baghdadi, this article says, his rise both in prison and later is thought to have been driven by his ideological and religious leadership. He earned a PhD in Islamic studies and was known for his dogmatic approach to Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, that means that his PhD in Islamic studies and his dogmatic approach to Islam means that he simply took what would be called a general understanding of the Quran, what would be considered to be one that is dogmatic about his understanding of and following the absolute fact of what the Quran says and what the Quran teaches. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Contrary to what you're told by the fake news and by the politically correct crowd in Washington and across the nation, Islam is not a peaceful religion. Islam is not peaceful at all. Now, there are stages where Islam is peaceful. There are stages where there is the peaceful jihad, and that is in every nation, listen carefully, and I document this in my research in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? Every nation in which Islam has come into, they remain sequestered, quiet, submissive, and what you'd call peaceful until they get to the point of between 3 and 6% of the population. And then they will rise up. They will demand special attention. They will demand special rights. They will demand in the schools what's called halal food, that is, in the Islamic's mind, clean food for the Muslim, that is, non-pork, et cetera, et cetera. They will demand positions of leadership. They will demand special rights in the school system. And I'll talk about that in this broadcast today because that's what they're doing today in America. Ladies and gentlemen, this article is very, very clear of his PhD in Islamic studies and known for his dogmatic approach to Islam. Simply means that he was a fundamentalist Muslim. Now, if you say a person is a fundamentalist Christian, what does it mean? Simply means he believes in the fundamentals of the faith. He believes fundamentally what the Word of God says. He believes fundamentally what the Scripture says. And he believes it and looks at it in a literal sense. And that's exactly what we're talking about. We talk about one being a so-called radical or dogmatic in his belief in the Quran. And that's very clearly stated in this article. And that's exactly what we find in El-Baghdadi in his background and his belief system. Ladies and gentlemen, we can understand today that El-Baghdadi led terrorist attacks in France and Germany and New Zealand, Sweden, America, and around the globe. In fact, here's an article that says, ISIS spokesman makes rare statement calling the retaliation after New Zealand mosque shooting. And literally, it is very, very clear in this article where the New Zealand mosque was shot up, two of them, in fact. And the ISIS spokesman makes a rare calling of this was a retaliation after the New Zealand mosque shootings. They claim the group's leader, al-Baghdadi, who is often rumored to be dead, is still alive. This article was just in March of this year. But ladies and gentlemen, he was the chief honcho. He was the grand poobah, if you will. He was the one that was calling the shots. He was the one that was making the decisions of the attacks on a global basis, internationally and nationally, with the terrorist attacks on human beings. Ladies and gentlemen, he had, let me just give you a little blurb of some of the major atrocities that some of you may have forgotten. By the way, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, you can call in, ask your question, join the dialogue and discussion. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. al-Baghdadi was personally responsible for having 20 men lined up on the seashores in Syria and video recorded the chopping off the heads publicly, beheading them publicly. And I don't know if you watched any of that. I went to the videos online and watch the horrific events that was carried out by al-Baghdadi. That is supposed to be that Islam in America, they're telling us, is a peaceful religion, that is nonviolent religion. We need to embrace it. We need to traditionalize it. We need to somehow, some way, say that they're okay. Now, let me just put in this little thought. Ladies and gentlemen, they're lost and on their way to a devil's hell. They need to be saved. Let me say that. Yes, I understand that. Some have asked the question, well, do you believe that, that they should be loved like everybody else? Yes, we need to love them. We need to hate what they're doing, but we need to expose the dangers of it that's rearing its head in America and leading us down that primrose path that will cause us to be like Europe, and we'll talk about that in our broadcast today. What is Europe like today? What will America be like tomorrow if we continue down the path that we're going in today? I believe we have a call on the line. Go over with the question and comment, please. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Oh, yes, I think you're doing a great work by exposing the falsehoods of the Islamic religion. And I think that most importantly, that the Church of Jesus Christ should be a house of prayer. And, you know, we have all this worship and worship, which is necessary, but we need to, you know, Jesus said the house of God should be called the house of prayer. And it's not. And the church needs to be a house of prayer.
I would agree with you. We need to be the house of prayer. We need to also be a house where the word of God is open and exegeted and publicly proclaimed from the pulpits. And where there's a warning, we need to warn. Where there's a misunderstanding on a global basis and a national basis, where we're being told and Christians are believing. Rick Warren out in California, the Saddleback Community Church, for example, which, by the way, is a Southern Baptist church. Rick Warren allows the Islamic imams to come in and have the call to prayer, the call to Allah. From the pulpit, yes, we need to be a house of prayer. We need also be a house of warning from the pulpit of the dangers ahead and to warn of the dangers of Islam and what will happen if that damnable religion ever takes hold in full in America. And we're seeing the fast track of that today. So I agree. We need to pray for them so they can say. We need to also pray as Christians that we'll wake up, look up, and realize what's taking place. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Got about 30 seconds.
Yes, sir. Also, what I've seen is that the church now is being infiltrated with New Age religion, and in the synagogues, in the Jewish synagogues during this last Feast of Tabernacles, they actually had candles lit up in like a circle and like doing like literal witchcraft in the synagogues, in the Jewish synagogues on these liberal synagogues.
Yes, sir. If you'd like to hold on, we've got about 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Be glad to continue our dialogue and discussion. If you'll hang in there for about 1 minute, be right back with Let's Face the Issue.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.